I know I probably say it all the time, and other people say it about their podcast. You cannot miss our next podcast of More Faith, More Life. But guess what? You cannot miss the next podcast of More Faith, More Life. I'm going to describe how totally broken man, me, walked into the church of in that Smithton church and was struck by the lightnings of God, how revival fire came down. I'm going to describe it in as much detail as I can. So can't wait to see you then on the next More Faith, More Life podcast.
You were made for more than the status quo. I'm Pastor Steve Gray, and this is the More Faith, More Life podcast. This podcast is for Christians with an ambitious heart who want to be more for their family, do more with their career, and see more of God's promises in their life. I've spent many years as a worship artist, minister, nonprofit leader, bold truth speaker, and most importantly, father and spouse. When I was in my early 40s, I was craving more. More from God and more from life. I'd done everything I was supposed to do. My life was good, but it wasn't good enough. So I spent the following years diving into the Word of God and searching for the biblical principles that would bring me closer to God and help my purpose and life flourish. That's what I want to share with you. In every episode, you'll get practical tools based on real life experiences that you can put into action to redefine your faith and ultimately your life. So, if you're ready to do more, subscribe to More Faith, More Life, and hear an unfiltered biblical truth every week. It's time to be and experience more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another More Faith, More Life podcast. I'm Steve Gray, along with Kathy, my wife, and we're here to talk about exciting things are happening in our country and around the world, in the spirit realm. It's long overdue, but you are alive in one of the most historical times in the life, at least in our country, and one of the most historical times in the world.
I think in the history of mankind.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I agree, and I think
the culmination of the excitement.
The last few years, all the way probably from COVID, which was historical, unfortunately, all the way to the spiritual things and that are happening now.
Yes.
If Jesus doesn't return and history continues on another 100, let's just say 100 years, these will be the years that you're alive right now in historical times. So these will be things that are written about and written about and written about. COVID's going to continue to be written about because first that it happened, first the amazing thing that the whole world wore a mask and the whole world shut down. That's going to seem strange in history, isn't it? To read about it, like, what?
That's horrible.
How did people, what? You know? And
how quickly it happened. So let's bear that in mind.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's funny. For a while, they made Hollywood wear masks and still do the shows. But I don't see any of them. I don't think they show any of them as reruns. I don't see those. But anyway, it's a very historical time. From there to the downside to the war in Israel, to the war in Ukraine, to nations rising up, and of course now the election of President Trump, that the way he won so big, and the shift that is taking place in America right now.
Yes.
So we're here, though, to talk about revival and some other things that are so important. I just said to you right before we started, Kathy, I said, stories are important.
Yes.
People love stories, but stories change things. And Jesus told, we don't say stories, we call them parables, but he was telling stories that under a parable that had a lesson in it.
Right.
So what are we going to talk about today?
Yes, well, last week we talked about leading right up to the point where you had gone away to check out revival. God had been working on you, and God had been working on our men and our congregation. But God really worked on you, and he told you to come on home and have a revival. And you said... What? And he finally said, I didn't tell you to be the revival.
Yeah.
I told you to have a revival, and you were so beaten down. You'd gotten some hope. But when you came back in to our church service that one Sunday night, and we were standing there all worshiping the Lord, and I was wondering, where's my husband? He's a little late.
Yeah, and so, yeah. Kathy, you've been working, leading up to this.
Oh, right.
You're working on a legacy.
Yes, I am.
Which is stories.
I should have said that.
That's okay. Where she's telling stories or having me tell stories.
Right.
Because they're so important. And it's not that I'm important.
No.
It's not that you might not have your own stories.
Yeah.
But the last years from when what we're about to tell you happened up to today mm-hmm. have been full of stories and legacy and a life-changing situation. So to back up, we're in a town ministering for 12 years in a town of 532 people. Mm-hmm. We ended up there because our house in another town was hit by a tornado. And we didn't have a place to go. We were trying to think, do we buy a house where, and housing is short and all that. Because, like, I think around 500 people lost their homes in that tornado. It was a massive tornado. And we didn't lose a home because we were renting, but we had to move. It was condemned. That led us to this little town of 532 people, which we didn't care because we were still traveling. Mm-hmm. Through that, God began to speak, and a church was dead. Church was there closed for 4 years, no people, no money, no nothing. And it was in a town of 532 people. Are you kidding me? And God said, I'll tell you what I would do. I would raise the dead. And so we said, well, then let's try to open this church and try to survive in this town of so small. 12 years goes by. The small town politics, small town churches, the way people act sometimes, just I thought, have I given my life 12 years to this when we could have gone somewhere else, you know? And it just, you know, the church was going well in the town. It was packed on Sunday mornings for a country church of 150 people or whatever it was. But I wasn't. I said, I don't know if I want to give my life to this. So downhill I went. Yeah. I began to search and said, if I've got to find the real thing here.
Yes.
And I began my search. So as you were saying, so I went to Pensacola, God started hope, and I called you and said, okay, I'll come back, but I'm not starting over.
Right.
If God doesn't do something different, and the real thing, kind of like Bible Christianity, at Book of Acts, you know, I'm not starting over, because I walked out 2 weeks before, didn't I?
Yes.
I said, you know, I've been here 12 years, I'm like the woman with the issue of blood, and still I'm no better. And that's what she said, or they said about her. And I walked out. And you didn't know if I was coming back or not. But I came back with some hope. Okay, so I pulled in the parking lot, and I could hear the music going, and I felt zero, nothing, nothing. You know, like, I'm going to walk in there with nothing. So I walk in the first door, I go to the second door, and it's the door leading into the sanctuary where it's at the back. So when I walk in, everybody's going to see me, right? And again, I felt nothing. I had a tie on that day because I would wear church ties in. So I just remember cinching up that tie, you know. Zero feeling. Mm. I opened the door, and as you know, I saw you. You were the first person I saw because you were sort of up front. Mm-hmm. And I saw you. I couldn't think what to do because I felt nothing. So I thought, well, go give your wife a hug. You know, everybody's looking at you. You've been gone for 2 weeks, and they're all smiling real big and everything. They don't know what I've been through. So I started walking toward you, and I got a couple of steps away, and I reached out to give you a hug, and that's when history was made. What happened in the next twinkling of an eye, a flash, you've heard that, was what I've described as like a lightning bolt from heaven. Now, I want to describe lightning a little bit to you. I mean, you probably know, and these people probably know, but just let's review it. Yeah. Lightning is very interesting because lightning actually goes up.
Oh.
But, yeah, it goes up, okay?
Yeah,
but it sort of doesn't go up at first. What happens is, and I'm no scientist, but what happens is whatever, it's an invisible thing, ions or power or whatever, do come down. It's invisible. Something invisible comes down. But as it comes down, whether it be a tree or the land or a barn or even a person, then electricity, the power actually then shoots up. So it looks like it's coming down, but it's actually going up.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, lightning goes up, but it's triggered by something invisible coming down. Scientists, you all smart people that paid attention in science class when I was dozing off, you could explain it much, much better than I did. But so I walk in, and afterwards, all I could describe it is I was struck by the hand of God, the lightning of God. And what happened meant something came down invisible, and then it was like electricity, and I shot up, didn't I? I jumped.
Yes,
I leaped. I turned. I leaped. I wish I could describe it better, what it was. It was a shot of tremendous life. Life. Just tremendous life.
Life.
I sometimes wonder when people, you know, they say they died and went to heaven or whatever, and then they came back and they didn't want to come back. But the tremendous love and all that. It was more than that, though. It was tremendous, but it was more than love. It wasn't love. It was life. Life-changing. And it was jolting. And that's why it felt like lightning. Like, I think I've been struck by God's lightning. Mm-hmm. And it was just jolting me. Mm-hmm. And up I went from being so down in the dumps, so much in the valley of the shadow of death, so hopeless. I was so hopeless for a little bit of time. But I got just enough hope to come home, and I felt nothing. But when that moment happened, I can feel it in my bones. And if I pray and really get into the things of God deep, I can sort of reenact the feeling a little bit. But still, it was so overwhelming that it made me leap like lightning. So lightning whatever came down from heaven mm-hmm. struck me, and then I leaped up like a lightning yes. bolt, full of life and joy, everything.
Yeah, and you know, when I was watching you, you know, and you came in looking one way, and your body posture, kind of a dejected bent, yeah. kind of pulling in, and you really kind of looked lifeless. You had no emotion showing on your face, and then when you reached towards me, you were like, we were very close to each other, maybe 3 feet apart.
Yeah, 3 feet probably.
And when you reached to me, that was when that lightning went up from you, and you raised your hands like this, and your entire body posture changed. Yeah. You were like straightened up, and your countenance.
I can remember
it was your
my face changing. I can remember my face changing.
Yes.
My face. I mean, and what I need to explain this to. God does different things in different ways with different people, so we don't want to put it in. This is how it happens.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. with me, there was no effort from me at all. I did nothing. I didn't think about doing anything. I didn't plan on, I put no effort into yeah. it. Now, let's back up. I had put 2 years searching, mm-hmm. then 2 weeks down, like I said, in the valley of the shadow
yes.
of death. I hopeless, yeah. I had nothing left. And that's interesting too, Kathy, because I think sometimes we're so full of ourselves, there's no room for any more of God. But I was totally empty. I hadn't eaten. I didn't speak to people. I had no sense of direction at all. Just a little bit of hope that I started thinking a little bit more like a pastor. So I wasn't thinking like God's. When I left, I thought God was finished with me. I told that last week, I think.
Yeah.
When I came back, I wasn't sure God was finished with me, but that there was nothing else. But one of the things I remember is my face lit up.
Yes.
I couldn't yes. see myself.
Yeah.
I couldn't see myself, but I could feel myself, my face lit.
Yeah, well, I can witness to
I know my arms
you
went
up. Totally different.
And I know I jumped, and I know all the people, yeah. 150 people were watching me
yeah.
see this change.
Yeah.
And I leaped and came down, and there was some other move. I don't know what would you do if you were struck by lightning. What would a person do but God's
yeah.
lightning? But I put no effort into it except all the effort of my whole life. Everything about me was putting effort into finding God up to that moment. Yeah. And when the moment came, no warning. I can almost feel it now. No warning. No nothing. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, an explosion of something happened. Mm-hmm. And up to that time, too, I want to relate this to people who are going through tough times. Up to that time, my heart, my brain, my spirit was full of chatter, 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 chatter. Every time I thought about myself, I thought about you loser. Every time I think about maybe what some other people have said or done about me that hurt me, you know, or didn't help me at least. And that, and all of a sudden I try to think about them, and all of a sudden I couldn't all of a sudden think about, no, you're not so hot either. You know, and I couldn't, you know, and then I start, you know, I feel like I've failed in every way. I mean, I just felt like it wasn't just in as a pastor, and maybe I shouldn't be a pastor anymore. Well, then just go get another job. But because, you know, I have a degree in music. I could teach music again or whatever. But I felt like the chatter was on every area. You know, you're bad. You failed. You're not going to make it. There's no hope for you. I mean, and I know people relate to that chatter. Now, the reason I'm telling you this, and instead of letting the chatter overcome me, I tried fighting my way out of it. I didn't just expect God to make everything right. I thought, I need to seek his face with all my heart. And I did, and it got a little bit better because of human effort. Because God says, seek my face. So that means human effort. Mm-hmm. There's scriptures in the Bible that say, make every effort.
Yes.
Okay? So I made every effort. But I have to admit, it was not good enough. But my every effort, I think, played into God knew at that point, I don't have to wonder what he's going to do. I don't have to wonder if I'm going to hit him with a lightning bolt or whatever it was. I'm going to touch him like Paul was struck on the road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. Very similar. Mm-hmm. When I read it, I feel similar. But anyway, there was no sign that Paul was going to become anything different. But God knew if I hit this guy with something, he'll go for it. Somehow he knew that.
Yes.
Somehow I think God knew I don't have to explain. I don't have to warn him. I don't have to say, get ready, get set. You know, get in the starting block because the gun's going to go off and you're going to start running. He knew if I get this guy, he's going to go for it. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing, one thing I just want to mention about the chatter.
Yeah.
When I leaped in the air, when I came down, I noticed how quiet it was. God didn't speak. I didn't speak. The devil didn't speak. There was complete silence. And so the change, and so I noticed that right away. So that's why I want to encourage people that are just full of, the chatter is driving you crazy. You know, it's just too much. You have no peace at all. Seek God. Put human effort into finding God even more to a greater level. And get that to where that chatter, God does something. There's so many interesting parts about this. First of all, I want to bring up what the people did. Mm-hmm. So I leap and I jump up and down and I'm walking and leaping and praising God a little bit. It wasn't overly, like I didn't go all the way around the building. Mm-hmm. It was in a little spot and it wasn't like me at all
you
to do it.
You were kind of rotating a lot.
I know, and I do remember that.
Yeah, you were.
I was kind of almost spinning.
You've never been like ever.
If I was told to do it, even by God, I might have not done it.
I know. This was entirely miraculous, I got to tell you.
I didn't even think. I wasn't thinking. But
yeah, you were
church,
living.
Yeah, the church responded in what seemed like an unusual way. If you hadn't have been in church the week before, you wouldn't understand it.
That's right.
But the entire congregation, it's amazing,
yeah,
except for me, kicked off their shoes and ran to the front.
Yeah.
And that's because the week before you said, what would you do if God came down and made this holy? And they said, we would kick off our shoes because it would be holy ground. Yeah. I didn't know you preached that, so I didn't know. I'm the only one that kept his shoes on. Everybody else kicked their shoes on, and all those people rushed to the front.
Yes.
And I think they kind of began, the music's still going. Yeah, the music didn't stop.
I tell you, we were copying our pastor.
And there was a lot of jumping up and down.
And a lot of jumping up and down, and in that old wooden floor that had seen, you know, 100 years or more of intercession, the floorboards were creaking. We were bouncing.
Well, the floorboard is the same floor that was there since 1859. Yeah. And if you went under the church, it didn't have any braces. You know how the floor was held up?
No, I never went.
By stones. Flat rock. And they stacked it up and built the foundation. And all over underneath the church were these stacks of flat rock that were about this big and that thick. And they built. And so when you jumped up and down, it was on those rocks. And
well, I'll tell you what, we became known as the only church that can really bounce the floor. bounced every time we were in there.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Now, trying to process.
Yeah.
You know, you think if it's a God thing, you understand it all. You know, I got it. I'm God's man of faith and power. You know, wow. And in Pensacola, like, there were hundreds of pastors there praying and seeking revival. And I didn't. I just sought him. Right. I didn't care if I preached again. I wanted to live again. And so now I have to process this in front of the people. And if you'll remember, and the people remember, a person who gets struck by lightning or has a stroke or something, their speech can sound fine, and then all of a sudden it drifts away, or they mumble or whatever. And I would start talking, and then I just stopped. I couldn't get any words out. Yes. I wanted to, but I couldn't. I knew what my brain wanted to say, but my body wouldn't speak. That went on for off and on. It got less over a two-week span. I didn't know what happened. I didn't say, this is it. We're in revival,
right,
which many pastors have done. Yeah. I didn't know. I got a little teary-eyed, too, because I said, I almost get that way now. I remember saying, I don't know what this is. All I know is hundreds of pastors are crying out to be a revival and lead revivals and have revival in their church. And I just want you to know, whatever's happened to me, I didn't earn it and I didn't deserve it. I don't know what this thing is. And it's a little hard. I said, and then I laughed and said, you know, I know God's perfect, but I wonder if just for a second he shot from heaven and missed and accidentally hit me. And then I described it saying, it felt like God had put his royal robe, like the prodigal son, the father put his robe on him,
yes,
that God had put his royal robe on me. And rather than feel like, wow, this is so great, I've never had anything happen like this in my life, it was so heavy that it was like, I cannot believe this has happened to me. And so I didn't know what to do. I prayed for some people, and as you remember, was new to us in our church. Yeah. Some people came up for prayer because we didn't know what to do, and they didn't know what to do. But there was such a move, like, pray for me. Somebody did. And I just reached out, and it was like their legs had been cut off. Mm-hmm. And they just went plop straight down, the whole family. That's new.
Yeah,
I don't know what this thing is. I think I prayed for a couple other people, and that happened to them, but that was about it.
Yeah.
And we sang some songs, and I think I sang that night, too.
I think
I'm pretty sure
you tried
I went to the piano.
Maybe you did. Yeah,
I'm
I think
pretty
you
sure.
did that. Yes, you
and
did.
I hadn't sung in our church like that in years.
Well, you had lost your song.
Yeah.
And that's really scary for a wife, you know, who's been working with her husband, you know, side by side, serving Jesus, and then all of a sudden you lost your song.
Yeah, and I don't want people to think that I just like to go to the piano and sang, you know. I had done recordings. Right. I'd done professional recordings before and been offered different record. I think by that time I'd been offered that recording contract, which I didn't do. But so not singing and not worshiping and not leading, I played piano and sang in church, but I wasn't what I was.
No.
So that night I went up, I think I sang a couple of simple songs.
Yes, you did.
And then at that point we just stopped. And I said, I don't know what this thing is. And that's so beautiful. I just love that. Mm-hmm. I didn't grab it and say, here it is. Wow, I'm it. I was speechless in a way. I didn't know what it was exactly. And I said, I don't know what this thing is. But whatever it is, and this was a Sunday night, whatever it is, I'm going to come back tomorrow night and try to find out. So that's all I said. We left. We went home. I'm staggering around. You are too. Like, we don't know what to think.
The presence of God was so thick in our heart, our house. You know, he followed us home, or we moved with him home. And we had a narrow little hallway and a small house. And one time I was going
I
to the kitchen
this.
And you were going down the hall to
and
the
I
bedroom.
And I bumped the wall.
Yeah, and then I bumped the wall, and then we bumped each other.
Yeah,
and it was
and
like,
we were like, what is
us?
This?
Yeah, we can't
this is
control
new to
our
us.
Walking.
This is so new to us.
Yeah,
and
presence.
So I came back. We came back not knowing. I didn't invite people to church. We didn't make any phone calls and say, hey, don't forget church tonight or anything like that. We just showed up, and when we showed up, there was the parking lot full, and people were standing inside waiting. At 7 o'clock on a Monday night, we kind of went through the same kind of service, sang a couple of songs, prayed for some people. They said I preached a little bit because somebody said I still have notes or whatever from Well, I think even Sunday night I tried to preach. I tried to do some scripture stuff, and I'm still trying to. Okay, same thing though. It's kind of fumbling around on that Monday night, and as you know, then we ended and we just stopped, and I said. Same thing. I don't know what this thing is, but I'm coming back tomorrow night to find out. We went through the whole week like that, just fumbling around, finding our way, worshiping the Lord, trying to share a little bit of God's word, praying for people who were amazed Some were still trying to figure it out, scratching their head, deciding, do I want him to pray for me or not? I don't know what's going to happen. Others saying, I want him to pray for me right now. So it was just a mixture of everything going on. Yeah. And it was just within our church, folks, family we knew, yeah. in a town that small, in a church that size, you know everybody, yeah. of course. And that went on. And then I came to the weekend, which was like a Thursday. Maybe it was Thursday. We might have had church Thursday night. We might have just quit Wednesday. No, we did have church Thursday night. That's right. It was a Thursday night. And I said, look, let's stop now. And let's come back on Sunday and see if whatever this is still here Sunday morning. So let's take a break. So we took a weekend break, still trying to figure out stuff. You and I enjoying the presence of God at home. And others were at home, too. And we came back Sunday morning, and we walked in. My God, there's something in this room. Not of me, not of earth. So we went through the whole week again. Mm-hmm. Then we went through another week again. And we just kept coming back. It was just our church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, about fifth week, I told you, speaking of Methodists, we were talking earlier about Methodists. A row of Methodists came in. Mm-hmm. They had heard something going on, and they were hungry for God.
Yes,
they did. And since we had grown up with some roots in Methodist church, I remember thinking, or maybe I even said to you, I remember thinking, if these Methodists get anything, we'll know for sure. This might be really, this is God. Now, everybody else came up to the front when there was a time to receive, you know, do something, a God moment. They didn't. They stayed in their pew, and they were, I think they're the only people that stayed in the pew. Mm-hmm. But I went to them.
Yeah.
And when I went to them, they're standing in their pew like good Methodists, hungry for God, though. Yeah. And I prayed for them. And good thing there was a place to sit down. Plop, plop, plop. They all just end up kind of falling into the pew. And I said, something is happening here, because I didn't even know who these people were.
Yeah.
From there, then we got to week seven. Week seven and eight. Week seven, I think, or eight. Our daughter Bobby was going to get married to JD, one of our pastors now, and they wanted to fix the little church up, because she'd been planning to get married in a long time. The little church up where everything was happening,
right.
and we were coming every night. She wanted to decorate it and have a wedding in
the
there.
The sanctuary.
Yeah. So I said, all right, let's do this. Let's move these services into the gymnasium. We'll have more room, and let's move the services to the weekend. Now it's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It must have been Wednesday, Thursday. We prayed on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Then we had services Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, twice on Sunday. One, two, three, four, five, six. No.
I don't remember.
Thursday, then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday. That's only four. We did five services a week.
Yeah.
No, we had six services a week. It was Thursday. We did six services a week. And I said, let's move it to the weekend. Because if we move it to the weekend, people can come and start coming and visit us. Because they can't travel and come. I didn't know if they would. And the biggest thing is, will our church people give up their Friday and Saturdays to come to this church building and have what we were starting to call revival? They did. Mm-hmm. They were all there. And suddenly word got out that something's going on in this country church about week eight and nine. Mm-hmm. And then we got a call from Oral Roberts University and the Richard Roberts Show.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we hear there's something. That Tulsa's 4 hours away from us. Mm-hmm. They said, we hear something's going on in this country church. Would you come and be guests on our program and tell us what's going on? Well, they had a big program. And so we did. I don't think we prayed for the student body, though. No, that's a different story. That'll come later.
Yeah.
We ended up praying for the whole student body at Oral Roberts University. Every one of them. Took 4 hours. Pray for all of them. But that's when we did chapel service. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they broadcast, and we told our story, and it went around. And the next thing you know, we come back, and we start, and people are starting to come from other states. Well, other towns. Let's just start other towns in Missouri, then other states. Then I don't know what happened next. We went on 700 Club, Daystar, TBN.
Yeah.
And once that started, you know, the news got out. People started coming from all over the world.
Yes.
And people be coming. They would come from nations. We didn't even know they were coming.
Right.
There'd be a busload of somebody from Korea, and a busload of 50 of them would be there. Where are these people? I didn't even know you were coming, but we didn't need to know. All we had to do is make sure that when they came and traveled from Singapore, which is about as far as you can go, that there was something there that they couldn't get in their church.
Right.
Because that didn't mean they had bad churches.
Right.
But there had to be something more. There had to be something worth coming from Europe or Tokyo, Japan, New Zealand, Australia. I'm just naming numbers that people came from everywhere.
Nations.
Now we're having 6 services a week. Later we changed it to 5 because the Sunday morning service got so long. It was 3 in the afternoon and we're just getting done. And so we said, we don't need to come back because all those people left and went back to their jobs, homes and jobs. So now we're at 5. So we'll just say 5. Anyway, we did 6 and 5 services a week for 3.5 years. Amazing. That's a lot of services. And we, if you figure it up, I don't know how many, over 1,000. And people came from all over the world. As you know, newspapers came. Television stations from all over came. They weren't that big, just local even. Mm-hmm. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch came, of course, the Kansas City Star. San Francisco Chronicle did a big, big story on us. Wall Street Journal did a story on us. Time Magazine came. Newsweek Magazine came. And from there, I went from the preacher who thought God was finished with him to where of 250,000 people went through those doors in a town of 532 people. There'd be more people in the church, obviously, twice. There'd be twice the size at least of the town, twice at least.
Yeah.
We had to at times run a cable. We had cable. We'd plug the cable into a TV
really
or the camera
and
run it down the street a block and 2 blocks away to the Methodist church.
Yeah.
And we opened the Methodist church, and people would watch us on a big screen sitting in the Methodist church.
They were very kind to us to do that. Yeah.
They were. And so
amazing.
Crowds came. They'd show up. Well, they'd show up in the middle of the afternoon or more to get in the building. They'd line up, just like I said years ago, see people lined up to get in this building. I don't even know how I came up with that phrase, but they did. And they made a documentary about us, Go Inside the Smith and Outpouring, which still changes lives.
That was Sid Roth Warren Marcus.
Made that documentary about us. And suddenly then, of course, the guy who, as I was saying, that said, I think God's finished with me, is now launched from local, national, and an international ministry that took us clear around the world. And like I said, 250,000 people heard about us everywhere. And even to this day, I'm still being contacted by people who say, oh, you're the guy that pastored the Smith and Outpouring. Tell me the story.
Yeah.
Or let me see the video. Or tell me again what it was like to be struck by the power of God. Yeah. And so is historical needed? The story is needed today.
Needed.
Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
The story is needed today of what can happen in the most unlikely church, in the most unlikely place, and maybe the most unlikely people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what he did. And now it's in history books now. And now we don't look back, though, right, Kathy?
No.
We grab what we can from the past.
Yeah.
We don't forget the old ways.
And we're thankful what God allowed us to do.
And I think every revival has an element of every revival.
Yeah.
And every revival has an element of something fresh and new.
Yeah.
Ours was not like Toronto. It wasn't like Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And today, if you study the history books and they do it right, they'll say, in those days, there was Toronto, Pensacola, and Smithton.
Yes.
But we weren't like Toronto.
No.
And we were not like Pensacola.
Right.
We were totally different
and
totally the same. Same spirit. But God moved it to a different level. Very intense. It was very intense. People just walked on the property and felt the power of God. People got healed walking on the, just arriving. They were healed in the parking lot. And then they try to leave. And they couldn't leave the parking lot. They couldn't drive.
Hilarious,
And they'd fall down and by the Spirit of God in the parking lot at 1 in the morning. Well, we need to wrap it up. We don't want to just talk and talk and talk about ourselves and the movement and the Smith and Outpouring.
Well, you're talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
This is the Holy Spirit work.
Because I would say
honestly,
again and again, this is not the work of a man. This is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, exactly.
And we cry out. Next time we're going to take you, now, after 3.5 years, packed services every night, known around the world, a good thing is happening. Most people would say, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. And suddenly God spoke and said, I'm going to move this revival from Smithton to another city. And I had to go tell our people people who had moved there to be in Smithton. They moved to Smithton to be in this revival. and so they could go every service. Now I have to say, guess what? We're picking up. We're shutting down. We're shutting down the revival to move to another city. What a story. The book that followed the fire, which you can get on the website, SteveGrayMinistries.com. If you see Follow the Fire, that's the story of moving. And we ended up moving to Kansas City. I'll tell you, it was rough, strange, and people could not believe I did it. But I did. And we're going to tell you the story next time. So don't miss the next. And tell your friends about it. They need, people need stories.
Yes,
amazing stories. Okay. Tell your friends, subscribe, tell your friends, and be sure and not miss the next podcast of More Faith, More Life. Till next time. Bye-bye.